the love and the pledge for prayer for you, brother, and for the church here from all of us at Stoke Ash. We're going to turn together, as I am sure they are doing this morning, to God's Word and read, and then a prayer and a few thoughts, just a few brief thoughts this morning from Psalm 66 in the Word of God. Psalm 66. In the NIV here, it's entitled, For the Director of Music, a Song, a Psalm. Shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praise to your name. Come and see what God has done, how awesome His works on man's behalf. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in Him. He rules forever by His power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against Him. Praise our God, O peoples. Let the sound of His praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, O God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and water. But you brought us to a place of abundance. I will come to your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to you. Vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. I will sacrifice fat animals to you and an offering of rams. I will offer bulls and goats. Come and listen, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what He has done for me. I cried out to Him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would never have listened. But God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. Praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer or withheld His love from me. Heavenly Father, we come to now to listen to your word to us. We thank you for its inspiration. We thank you for your power. We thank you for what you can do. And we ask, Lord, that just for a few moments before we come to spend time around the table where we will remember your sacrifice on our behalf, that you will teach us more about yourself. Turn our attention away from our own situation, even if that situation seems to have such a hold on us this morning. Will you break those chains? Will you remove those scales from our eyes? Will you help us to see the one to whom we come and help us to praise? Thank you for the wonderful words of these psalms that come as an encouragement to us, perhaps when times are a little troublesome. So speak, we pray, Lord, in the power of your Spirit. For Jesus' sake, amen. A few weeks ago, we had a visit from a couple of missionaries who work in a country called Burkina Faso. And their names are Phil and Carolyn Reed, and they came to us in a midweek meeting at Stoke Ash. And what Phil shared that evening inspired me greatly. He shared about this man who is on this picture. His name is Ken Elliott. And Ken is an Australian surgeon who in his retirement, and I believe this man is in his 80s, has been serving God in that country where no one else could do what he was doing. He had a hospital, him and his wife, I think her name was Joyce, they served God in that country. But on the 15th of January last year, They were both kidnapped by Islamic terrorists. A few weeks later, Joyce was released, but Ken remains in captivity, and much prayer is offered up on his behalf. That was Ken at work before he was taken in the hospital, which is now closed down, sadly. There's nothing happening there. So the local population, although largely Muslim, is crying out for these dear folk to be protected, this man to be released. On that same day, in a cafe in the capital of that country, this man died. His name is Mike Riddering. And very powerfully, he was shown on a video when Phil and Carolyn came to share this account, preaching about, from the verse, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." And just a few weeks after he preached that message, his life would be taken. Phil reminded us of some wonderful words taken from another psalm, Psalm 25. I'm going to read them to you. Verse 4 in that lovely psalm, "Show me your ways, O Lord," because sometimes it's hard to grasp what is happening. And I know that there will be some here this morning, just by the law of averages alone, who will be offering that prayer, "Show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long." Ken and Mike could say that. I have to ask you this morning, I have to ask you, in this moment together, nothing else matters. Whatever is happening to you, nothing else matters. Can you say and mean it that you know that God is your Saviour? I know that message, that gospel, is in your heart, burning brightly, brother. I know it's in your shared experience. We can tell that just coming to visit you. But for you individually, sitting here in your red chair, probably, this morning, is it true for you? I don't know how you normally do things around this table, and it has to be said that this observance is for those who love the Lord. The Bible warns us not to take the cup or the bread, not to drink it and eat it in an unworthy manner. But I would love you, if you don't normally do it, to stay and watch what the believers in Jesus Christ are doing when they meet around this table. Now, I may have broken a cardinal rule there, Stuart, but it is remembering his death until he comes. And it means so much because he is God, my Saviour. If you're in this room and that is true for you, I just want you to say yes after I've counted to three. If he is your Saviour, 1, 2, 3.
Yes.
Bless your hearts. He will be thrilled to hear you confess that with your lips. Now, the psalmist here, and we've only got a few thoughts this morning, I promise you. I'm going to take my watch off so I can see it. He encourages us, before we do anything else, to come and see what God has done. Now, where do I start when it comes to delving into that subject? The truth is, I can't. We've already looked at how God is praised by the whole of his creation. You will each have personal testimony, your experience. What I would encourage you to do, particularly in those moments when Satan gets very busy, and what Satan is doing constantly is sowing seeds of doubt, sowing questions, and maybe it is just me, you can throw me out before we've finished, but as I get older, I find sometimes those questions seem to get louder. So is it you too? He gets busier, but he has no right to victory. 3 weeks ago, I preached at a welcome meeting for a dear brother at Ockhold. And in the early hours of that Sunday morning, I dreamed that everything that could go wrong did go wrong. And I was wading through treacle, and I woke up that morning almost sweating and thinking, this is what Satan does. He's no friend of mine. But I trust in God, my Savior. And I want to share what he has done. Satan doesn't want me to do that. Doesn't want you to do that. He'll put every hurdle in the way. But the psalmist encourages us to take no notice of him, but to share everything you know about God himself. A few things to pick out. They're all beginning with A. I have a little OCD when it comes to things like that. See what God has done. First of all, how his work is awesome. That's a word that's kind of been adopted by youth culture in recent years. Probably gone now. It's replaced by sick or something else like that. I don't know. That will have moved on too by the end of the morning. But the word awesome, awe-inspiring, terrifying, overwhelming power. So much so that when dear Moses went up the mountain to meet God in that fire and came back down, having encountered God for 40 days and 40 nights, the people who looked at Moses couldn't stand to look in his face. The reflected awesome power and glory of God. Can you put a veil on? We can't stand it. How would any of us stand in the presence of God without his gracious provision to enable us to do that? Do you realize who we're coming to this morning? Wouldn't it be awesome, although it may hinder our witness in this area, if people used to say, do you know, people said to us when we walked out this week, there is so much of God in your actions and your attitude. I find it difficult to take sometimes. What must he be like if that's how he works through you? Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. God has great power. In verse 7 in this psalm, we haven't got time to comment on it in any detail. His rule is forever. In a world of changing leaders, sometimes we can fear them. What on earth is going on here, we say. Isn't it a comfort to know that God rules forever? Forever. Never any end. Never any change. He is in control of everything. From the beginning to the end of the history of time, God is in control. He was in control before time began. He will be in control when he decides that we enter the eternal realm. See what God has done. How awesome are his deeds. Sometimes in that time we experience affliction. It is thought that this psalm was written at the time of King Hezekiah, when he was trapped in the city of Jerusalem by hundreds of thousands, certainly 185,000 enemy troops. And they kept throwing these letters and these comments at him. You can't trust in God. You mustn't listen to God. No other god in this territory has stood in the way of the king of Assyria. He will not deliver you from this king's hand. Those are the messages that Satan uses against us every day. But they're not true. Dear old Hezekiah thought, well, I'm going to have to go and see God about this. What does he say? It doesn't matter what anybody else says. So he went to the temple and he spread this issue out before the Lord. And I love that. He didn't get everything right. But in this moment in his life, with all of this pressure, he spread this issue out before the Lord. You can read about this if you're taking notes in 2 Kings chapter 18 and 19. Because he was in a place of affliction. And this wonderful psalm alludes to that. That's why people think it may have been from this time. In these verses here, verses 8 through to 12. But at the end of verse 12, it says, you brought us to a place of abundance. Do you know what happened to the 185,000 troops outside the walls of Jerusalem? In an instant, they were destroyed. That king had said, you can't trust God. But I tell you this, and you've heard it many times, but I'm just going to tell you again, because I believe God is saying this to you this morning. You can trust him in every situation. Think of the him, in every condition. You can trust God. That's what the psalmist here says. You can trust him because he will bring you out of affliction one day into a place of abundance. Now, I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel. My bank account's not full. But my heavenly bank account is overflowing. He has gone to prepare a place for me. And he will have done that for you if you love him. Whatever you are going through here, however big it may seem, I promise you, it will come to an end one day. And you will emerge into the best that God can ever prepare for you. Because his deeds are awesome. He will answer you. Sometimes we don't get the answers that we expect, but God will answer you. The psalmist says this at the end of this psalm here. I cried out to him with my mouth. If I had cherished sin in my heart, here's a warning, the Lord would not have listened, but God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. So we should adore him. He's worth it. He's worthy. And because of that, there are three things. I'm just going to encourage you very quickly. Three things we should be doing. Shouting, singing, and speaking. Are you good at any of those? Shouting. That's what it says here. Shout to the Lord. Shout with joy to the Lord. That's the key. Shout with joy to the Lord. Shouting has a bit of a negative publicity. But in the Bible, not so. Job chapter 38. We read the words that the angel shouted for joy when God created the heavens and the earth. In Joshua chapter 6 and verse 20, we read the walls fell down when the people of God obeyed him and shouted. In 1 Chronicles 15, 28, when the ark was brought back to Jerusalem, the people shouted with joy. Ezra chapter 3, with God's help, we'll touch on that chapter this evening. When the temple foundations were laid, the new temple, some people shouted for joy, some people wept and complained. I want to be amongst the crowd who are shouting for joy. In Luke chapter 19, Jesus said, look, I'm not going to tell my followers to be quiet. I am coming into Jerusalem. I am King of Kings, Lord of Lords. That's what the whole Bible tells us about him. They may not have been the words from his very lips, so that's what it meant. And if these people do not give me the praise that I am due, even the stones themselves on the ground will cry out because of who I am. You know, the truth of it is, if you were not here witnessing for the Lord in Witten, he could make the bricks and the mortar and the stones and the trees and the fields cry out on his behalf without you. But he is delighted that you are witnessing for him. Shout. Sing. Do you like singing? You like singing, don't you? We may not be particularly good at it. We will be one day. But music is wonderful. I think music in its own way is irresistible to human beings, you know, because it's a gift from God. It was present in heaven before the earth was made. And I'm going to say this. I haven't done any great scientific study, but it seems to me that music doesn't make any sense to the evolutionist. It's born out of our relationship to God. Job chapter 38 again, verse 7 this time. The morning stars, we've looked at them already, they sang together while God laid earth's foundations. Music is linked to worship. And your singing earlier was heartfelt and beautiful. But only God knows if the attitude in the heart behind the voice is the same. But I pray that it is. You join with that heavenly chorus in praising Him. Sing. Sing the glories of His name and speak. Speak to God. Whatever it is you're going through, speak to God. I know we'll be speaking to God further in this time together this morning. He listens. He understands. He goes before. He changes things. Sometimes, though, it may be us that need to change. But may He work through us in His mighty power as He speaks through our lives. Because it's not only speaking to Him that's important, and it's absolutely vital, whatever, in every situation in life. And thank you for keeping up with the slides. I could never multitask. But the fact is, God can. He can deal with a million prayers at the same time. He has the resources for all the situations on earth that require His help. He is in control. And we can talk to Him. I can't get to Her Majesty the Queen, however much admiration I have for her. Maybe the letter will arrive one day. I doubt it somehow. I can't get to anybody who seems to have influence in this world stage, and yet they should be giving praise and honor to the one who I can come to, God Himself, by His invitation, through His grace. We can talk to Him, and we can talk of Him. And we know that's true. It needs to be done with sincerity, because hypocrisy can soon be spotted. If you go and tell your friends, well, I love God and I'm going to live this way, and they can come back to you and say, ah, yes, but this part of your life doesn't bear that testimony out, then we need to talk to Him and ask Him to deal with that part of our life, don't we? But if our lives are an effective witness for Him in the things we say, then who knows what that testimony will bring by way of fruit. Perhaps we need to confess our sin to Him. God's word reminds us that if we do that, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 17 in this passage, I cried out to Him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. What do we need to tell God? What do we need to tell others about God? May we see what He has done and rejoice. Shout at the right time. I don't encourage you to abandon all common sense and logic. Don't run up to the air stewardess or air steward later on, Stuart. Boo! I'm a Christian. I'll tell you what, though, we had a bonfire at church on Friday evening, and somebody called the fire brigade. They were going past on the road. So the fire engine turned up, which is, you think, well, this isn't how we planned this or prayed for this evening to go. We got parents here, and all the firemen got out. And then one of them said, he started asking some questions, and I thought, well, this is unusual. These are constructive questions. And I found out that he loves the Lord, that he works for SIM, and that he and his family will be going to Chad in January to serve the Lord there. Firemen who came to our enthusiastic bonfire on Friday evening. And I just say that because it should encourage us that God is in every situation, even those moments where we think, what is going on here? God is at work. Amen.